Hi, I'm Donovan Brown, Principal Program Manager at Microsoft, and we're here to talk about DevOps with bots and some extra features that are going to be shown to us by my buddy Thiago.
Yeah, I'm Thiago Almeida. I'm a senior developer engineer here at Microsoft. And this last session, we're just going to cover, I'm going to show you a real bot and how it's deployed in production and how to get to the bot framework dashboard for it. And also, we have just a few slides on more advanced topics that you should consider when you're building bots and thinking about DevOps for them. And also, we have a slide with a few links as well for you to follow and learn more about this.
Perfect.
Cool. So here's once you've gone through the continuous integration testing and deployment that we showed you in the previous sessions, you end up with your bot deployed to a web app somewhere. In this case, I have it as an Azure app, app services. You could have deployed it to a virtual machine or to even a Docker container because it's just a node or an ASP.NET web API. But the easiest for me is go to an app service and a web app. So I have it deployed here. It's also gathering telemetry for my calls. And this is how it looks like in Azure. But before you can do everything that we did with the deployment, you notice that in the first session when I showed you the sample of the bot running with the bot framework emulator, I connected locally, so I didn't have any app ID or app password here. But once you want to deploy it to run it in a production stage, or if you want to test it with the actual channels instead of just the emulator, you have to provide those values as well. And you need to have registered your bot with Microsoft, with the bot framework, before you can run it. And that's where the bot framework dashboard comes in. So you basically go to botframework.com, and if you want to say, if you click on My Bots, it will redirect you to Dev. I have a few bots here, the state ones that we've been showing throughout the series, and then also the I'm Hungry bot that I showed at the beginning. And you can see here, I enabled it for, it will enable Skype and web chat by default. And I turned off web chat because I didn't use it too often. And I enabled Facebook Messenger as well because that was the place that I wanted to put my bot in. When you enable web chat, it'll show the web chat here on the right. And you can use that to embed your bot into your web app as well. So that's a pretty cool channel to have if you want to enable your bot, like a support bot or something else that you need to enable in a website. And finally, here's the list of all the other channels that we showed at the beginning. So with the Azure bot, for example, I showed you how we use Direct Line to talk directly to the bot and from code so that we can run automated tests. So this is where you would add Direct Line and configure it. And for each one of these, it has instructions on what you should do. So if I click on Microsoft Teams, I can enable it for Microsoft Teams here. And you can enable intent detection and entity detection as well from Bing. But otherwise, you just click I'm done configuring, and it'll enable that for that channel. It's that simple. So the code that you have written and that's deployed here inside this web app doesn't change. What changes is just the connection to that channel that's now enabled.
Now explain to me real quick. So I go through and I configure it for Microsoft Teams, but how does someone then find my bot in Teams or in Facebook to actually start to engage with it?
Yeah. So at the moment for this bot here, it's enabled for me for testing, but you can then publish the bot. Once you have done, you're done with the bot, you'll publish it, and that basically publishes it to the bot framework directory.
Okay.
And it'll show up here under bot directory. So if I go to that link in a new tab, you see that there's a few featured bots here, including the Azure bot and others. My favorite is your face bot, where you upload a photo of your face and it gives you a frank assessment of it. But that's one step. So it shows up in Microsoft's own bot directory. For each one of those, so if I go back to the bot directory and choose this guy, you see that they have it enabled for multiple locations. And then you can click on the link and it'll add it to your list of bots for that interface. So here for Skype, I can click add to Skype, add to my contacts.
I see.
And that brings up Skype and adds this bot
I see. So if someone wouldn't find this directly from Facebook, for example, they would have to go to the directory and realize that the bot is enabled for Facebook and then basically add them as a contact on Facebook.
But there are some of these that have bot directories themselves, like Facebook, I think it does. So part of, if I go back to I'm hungry here, under Facebook, there's some steps that further down that you could do to deploy it to show up on their own interface as well. So you can see for Facebook, there's quite a few things. You have to create a Facebook page, create a Facebook app, enable it for Messenger, and then eventually, as part of that Facebook app that you create, later on you will publish it as well so that it shows up. If people start searching in Facebook for I'm hungry bot, it should show up for that page, and then you can start chatting to it.
All right, perfect.
So there's different ways. One is the Azure, the Microsoft bot directory, and another one is through the channels, but they're all different. So some have a directory, some don't. Okay. So some let you search or not. So now that you have it enabled for a few channels, you can start testing your bot as well. This test connection to your bot, it basically just does a ping against the bot and expects a small response.
Okay.
So that's mainly to check that it's up and running.
Great.
You know, I've had times where I didn't have automated tests and just pushed it straight into a web app and I had something not really configured well or some bad code in my node.js and it then throws a 500 error exception back. So this is a good simple way to test it, but the cool thing is to actually test it against the actual channel. So once you've enabled it for the channels, you see that here it's still not published to the public, but if you're, for example, the admin for the Facebook page that you created before for Facebook in this case, or in Skype you can just add it if you have the specific link, you copy the link or click on the link and then browse to the link there and opens up the Facebook Messenger so I can start talking to the bot. So I have it open here already. I was using it before, and basically what this bot does is lets you find places to eat. So if I choose the nearby bite type button, it'll ask me, oh, what kind of place you wanna look for. I'll say maybe Italian. I had already sent it my location before, mm-hmm. so it remembers it because I have it saved. And then it's just finding some Italian places close by.
Oh, very cool.
So that's a simple example of a bot, but the main thing here is to show you once you have created the entry here and then you've deployed your bot and tested it with the first on your computer with the emulator, once you deploy it would have at least Skype or web chat already enabled. Then you can start adding all the other channels and testing them. Once you're ready, you go through the publishing steps here, and they'll ask you for more information, like you need to have a page to point people for the, you have to, of course, give a description, but also you have to have a page for the privacy statement, terms of use, a website for your bot if you have one, all of those things.
Got it.
It goes into a review and then it shows up in the bot directory later on.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. That's from here. And if you've followed all of the other parts of the series, you would have automated the deployment to Azure and it would show up into Azure here. So it would keep reusing the same app ID and password and just delivering good value with the new code that you're deploying to your web app.
Awesome.
Cool. So that's it, just to show you the example of it running there. And now we have just some extra topics for you to consider.
Sure.
First one is, we talked about retraining Lewis a couple of times. And the way you do it, if you want to automate that, is by the specific Lewis endpoint APIs. So if you're using Lewis for your bot, there's those specific APIs for the cognitive services that will let you both export and import an app, and that basically creates a JSON file of the whole Lewis model that you have. And also, if you have a lot of new utterances and labels that you wanna add to your bot with the specific entities and that you have for those, you can retrain the model, you know, import everything and then do a new train. So here's just an example of a bit of code where you could do that as well. So on the left we have import the model, and on the right we have training the model as well. So that's, you know, for retraining Lewis, that's the way to go. Some other topics, just like web apps, just if you're thinking about scaling it up, you should keep track of it. A lot of the actual traffic for a bot goes into the bot framework itself, and your web app is just, you know, receiving the calls and sending calls to the bot framework and then back to the user. So load balancing would work at the same way as you do with a regular website, and hosting as well. We usually do it in web app. Versioning is an interesting one. I would prefer going towards the feature flags path, but you saw that for the state bot, we had both a beta version of it and a production version, and you can still deploy multiple versions of the bot to the same instance, and then if you need to roll back, you can, or excuse me, you can take your users to different paths depending on the version that your bot is in by using feature flags. So that's another advanced topic that we recommend if you want to do that kind of deploying to production without exposing it to everyone and over time releasing it. Security as well. We talked about it, especially in the continuous deployment, we talked about the different ways for you to secure the deployment itself, but also there's quite a lot of information that you put into your web app as far as web app settings that the bot needs, and also for the bot itself, what do you do with the account? You know, you need a Microsoft account to get to the bot dashboard. So here, let me go back to my bot framework dashboard here. And you see that I'm signed in with a Microsoft account. So if you are a team developing a bot and you want to have this, what we've done in the past is we create a new Microsoft account that will be shared by the team, and then we save that account in somewhere safe like in Key Vault, and then let everyone use Key Vault Explorer with the certificate to get that information whenever they need to log into the dashboard and use it. Some people use just secure notes from LastPass or some other company to save the information, but you can, you know, use a shared Microsoft account so that at least a specific number of people that need to come into the dashboard and maintain it, or go into Lewis and fix it up or add new things to it, you have that shared account instead of one person has the account. At the moment, it's not like it doesn't support teams in here, so the way to go is by sharing that account. And going back to the slides, source control management, that's an easy one as well. It's just like web apps. And even for Lewis, it's just JSON files for the data that you export and import. So if you like the Git flow or any other ways with Git branches and feature branches and et cetera, that works pretty well for the bot as well.
Perfect.
So those are some of the topics that I wanted to call out. I have a few more links here. So if you want to learn more about the bot framework, botframework.com, bot course, and the code for the simple bot, the one that we showed here, the state with app insights and then the mocking of for unit testing plus the functional testing for the .NET version, that's in my GitHub, github.com/nztiago/botinsightstests. There's a lot of code samples, both under botbuilder-samples and under botbuilder itself. And for DevOps particularly, there's the DevOps Fundamentals series that we put up on Channel 9. Donovan participated in that as well. And we have quite a lot of, we have two samples, Parts Unlimited and Parts Unlimited MRP that cover DevOps in depth for not bots, but for other parts as well. So if you want to learn more about DevOps, you can go to those.
Absolutely. So hopefully you found that helpful. A lot of this hopefully will be information that you would have heard one of us already tell you in the past, but now you know how we can actually apply that when it comes to developing bots and taking us into that next generation. I'm really excited about bots myself. I mean, every time we do this session, I get more ideas of what I think a bot can do for me, and now I know that I can go and do the exact same DevOps best practices I do on everything else when I'm doing it for bots as well. So thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed this series. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.